Hi, this is Keith, and you're listening to the Retro Radio Podcast.
Who are you?
We're the Retrobots. I'm David.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Jill.
The Retro Radio Podcast, the internet's best-kept secret source for your favorite old-time radio shows. But the word is getting out.
Oh, I can't stand the suspense any longer.
It's always family-friendly, always good, clean, fun.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say that.
It's the place where
new tech
meets old tech.
And likes it.
Lou Costello, you haven't got the brains of a two-year-old child.
I know, but look at the difference in our ages.
What's it say?
Visit us on the web at retro-otr.com. While you're there, leave me an email, comment on any of the shows, drop us a line. We would love to hear from you. Hey everyone, this is your host Keith, and welcome to the Retro Radio Podcast. Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope everyone's having a good holiday so far. A couple years ago, I featured this Lemon Abner episode. It's their annual Christmas show.
This one is from December 23rd, 1938.
And I think I did a pretty good job with it back then when I did it the first time around. But I thought I would play it again because this has been a pretty interesting year for me because I've been in contact with Uncle Donnie Pitchford, the president of the Lemon Abner Society. And that webpage is located at lumandabnersociety.org. And the and in there is spelled out, lumandabnersociety.org. And correct me real quick if I'm wrong. Am I?
You called it right on that one.
All right. Moving right along. Anyway, through that contact, I've also been able to acquire some audio tracks where he has recorded some early Jotting Down Journals, which was the official newsletter of the Lemon Abner Fan Club. It's no longer in print, and it's no longer in publication, although back issues are available. And if you visit that National Lemon Abner Society page, you can actually purchase some there and support that website and the cause of keeping Lemon Abner alive. But what I wanted to say is, I'm getting off my track. Through that contact, I've got these audio tracks, thanks to Bob Acosta and the folks at Helping Hands. What's that webpage?
www.helpinghandsfortheblind.org.
All right. I'll try to have links for that stuff on the website so people can link to that if they want.
And just to point it out, the 4 in that domain is the numeral 4. It's not spelled out.
And this is an article from, I think it's from the first year they had a newsletter, and it's actually Uncle Donnie Pitchford reading it. I'm going to save it for the end. Usually I have my bonus tracks at the start, but I think you need to listen to the show first and then listen to the article. Trust me, it is worth it. You'll love it. If you love Lemon Abner and Christmas and, what should I say, prophecies, it's got some pretty interesting tie-ins. So enjoy. I've said enough. Take it away, Retrobots. Let's get this show going.
Here's a crazy song written by Groucho Marx and performed by...
Not Groucho Marx.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. My eyes to see.
Now for our featured presentation.
The makers of Postum, the favorite mealtime drink in millions of American homes, present your favorite radio friend, Lum and Abner. In Dickens' famous story, A Christmas Carol, remember the grouchy, mean-tempered old man, Mr. Scrooge? Well, even today, I think we run across a lot of people almost as bad-tempered as old Scrooge, don't you? And the pity of it is that most cranky people don't want to be that way. Usually, they're what doctors call nervous irritables, people who suffer from indigestion or headaches or can't sleep at night. Any one of those symptoms may mean that you have coffee nerves. For while many people can drink coffee without becoming jittery, many others cannot. If coffee nerves are making a nervous irritable of you, switch to Postum. For Postum contains no caffeine or stimulant of any kind, and it's as delicious as it is satisfying, with a cheering aroma and distinctive, mellow flavor that is Postum's own. For your convenience, it comes in two forms. Postum cereal, the drink you make by boiling or percolating, and instant Postum, mixed instantly in the cup. So, if coffee nerves upset your digestion, keep you awake, or make you feel headachy, switch to Postum with your meals. See how you improve the first few days. See if you aren't less of a nervous irritable at the end of 2 weeks, and after you've given Postum a full 30-day test, see if you're not again a cheerful, good-natured person. And now, let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, it's Christmas time in Pine Ridge, and all business and other activities have been cast aside in preparation for celebrating the holiday. A heavy snow has fallen, and it is now after dark. Three old fellows, Lum, Abner, and Grandpappy Spears, are trudging through the snow on a real Christmas mission. Listen.
Hey, you're sure we're headed right now, are you, Grandpap?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know this the way, all right. Hey, Doc Miller rode his horse over here. You see his tracks there in the snow.
Oh, yeah, them his?
Well, it must be the old Gaddis place, then.
Yeah, that's just about where it's at. But there ain't nothing but the barn left there now that the house burnt down 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, Doc says it's due east from that road where we turned off there.
Due east?
Yeah, which way is east? I ain't paying no attention to the directions here.
Wait a minute. Whereabouts is the east star?
There it is, right ahead of us.
Yeah, we're going right, man. Don't worry about that.
Here, we can just follow the east star.
Yeah, that ought to lead us to it, yeah.
How did you find out about these folks, Grandpap?
Well, Doc Miller and his woman had supper over at our place, and we were sitting there visiting after we got on eating, and directly the telephone rang and told Doc to get right on over here.
Well, who done the calling?
Oh, some feller named Joe something or other. I forget what he did call his name. He'd went over to some neighbor's house to call. Said they'd been into the county seat to pay their taxes, and there weren't no room at the hotel, so they come on out here to this old barn to spend the night.
Well, this ain't fitting weather to have to stay out in the barn, I'll say that.
And they said they were sort of expecting the baby to be born tonight, huh?
Yeah, that's the reason they called Doc Miller.
Hey, what's the matter, Abner?
I noticed my arm's getting tired here, feller.
Well, here, let me carry them blankets a while, and you carry this oil heater.
It's plumb wore out.
Is that box of groceries getting heavy, Grandpap?
No, I'm all right alone.
You ought to be there directly anyhow.
Yeah, this snow tires a body out walking through it, you know it.
Yeah, well, maybe we're walking a little fast for you, Abner.
Yeah, slow down a little here, fella.
Well, here, you take the lantern.
Yeah, let me get hold of the thing. Yeah,
that is it. Mighty thought of you fellas to come over here at night. Sort of hate to call you to get out at night like this. But after Doc left, me and the woman got to talking about how pitiful it was that that couple was having to stay out here in this barn. Nothing to eat and all.
Why, sure. I'm just glad you called me, Grandpap. Just proud to have a chance to help.
Yeah, this makes it seem more like Christmas to me, doing for somebody else.
Why, sure.
You know, you just can't do things to make other folks happy without making yourself happy at the same time. I've always said that. Trouble with a lot of us, we sort of lose the Christmas idea altogether. Think too much about ourselves. The real Christmas spirit is the happiness we get out of making other folks happy.
Well, yes, it is. Now, there we was, sitting there at home, busy romping to what we was enjoying ourselves. These folks out here spending the night in the old barn this way. No, it just wouldn't have been no Christmas to it if you hadn't have called us up, Grandpappy, sure wouldn't.
Well, I knowed I could depend on you, feller. Now, man, if it's the old Gaddis place, we ought to be able to see it from the top of this hill here.
Wait a minute. I believe that's the barn yonder, ain't it?
Yeah, that's right where they're at, short as the world. Well, now, it's due east from where we was at, all right, for there's the east star right over the top of the barn yonder.
Yeah, there's Doc's horse tied to the fence there, too.
Yeah, believe it is.
See the light shining through the cracks in the walls.
Yeah. Yes, sir, now that's a shame that them folks never let some of us know they needed a place to stay. Why, we've got plenty of room over there at our place. Just been glad to have them,
Well, this fella that called Doc said they was looking for a place to stay and seen this barn weren't being used, so they just put up there for the night.
Whereabouts do they live, Grandpap, did he say?
Why, yeah, they're from over about Pleasant Valley, Summers, Abner.
Pleasant Valley?
Yeah, he told Doc he never had no cash money, taking every nickel he had to pay his taxes, but said if he'd make the call for him, why, he'd work it out quick as he could.
Well, old Doc never refused a call in his life, I don't reckon.
No. I've knowed him to get up in the dead of night in the worst kind of weather to go call on the sick. When he knowed before he went, he never would get no pay for it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what we would do without old Doc here in this community.
Oh, he's a feller, he is.
Well, I'll see some that says his message is a little old-fashioned, but grannies, I'll take my chances with him every time.
Well, he's pulled me through the shadows time and again. I've always said that Doc never practiced medicine for what money he got out of it. As much as he does for the good he can be to his fellow man, I've always said it.
Well, sure, if there ever was a man that's got to preserve seed in a better world, it's old Doc Miller.
Yes, he has.
You better not be talking too loud, fellas. We don't want to disturb him now.
No. Let's be as quiet as we can, man.
You got to let Doc know we're here some way or other.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm wore to a fresh.
I'm too. I don't know whether I'm out of breath. I got too much.
Wore to a fresh. I reckon it won't hurt nothing to tap on the door, sort of, you know, will it?
No. Oh, go ahead, Lommy. Might be needing this oil stove in there.
I don't hear a sound in there.
Well, I don't believe you knock quite loud enough, Mom. Maybe they never hear
it. Wait a minute. Here comes somebody at the door. Hey, howdy, Doc.
Oh, hello there. Well, what are you three old codgers doing out here this time of the night?
We just got to thinking after you left, Doc. These folks might be needing something. Yeah, Doc, we brought an oil stove and some bed covers.
Yeah, and here's a box of groceries, too.
Well, now, they can certainly use them. Having any heat of any kind in there. Using what little hay was left in there for a bed, piled it all up in the manger, made a pretty good bed. But now these covers will come in very handy, man.
Good. How is the lady, Doc?
Oh, getting along is... Well, this could be expected, Lom. Here now, I'll take these things on in and have her husband light this heater and warm the place up a little. You men better stay out here for a little while.
Oh, yeah, sure. You go ahead, Doc. We wait out here. If there's anything we can do, Doc, why, this hour.
Yes, all right. Thank you, Grandpa.
Doc, just a minute. What kind of work does this fella do?
Oh, He said a while ago that he was a carpenter by trade, Lom.
Carpenter?
Yes, I said he'd been out of work for quite a while, though.
Yeah.
Well, here now, I better get back in.
Oh, yeah.
Said he was a carpenter, huh?
Yeah. I was just thinking, Abner. We've been talking about having a loading platform built there for the back door down to store. I think it'd be a pretty good idea to just hire this fella to do a little fixing up around the store there for us.
Why, yeah, we was talking about putting some shelving across the back there, too.
Yeah.
Might just let him do that while he's at it.
Well, he'll want to be nice wife and baby for a few days now, I reckon.
Oh, sure.
Quick as Doc thinks it's safe for him to be moved, I'm going to insist on him coming right on over there to our place and staying.
Well, now, that'd be the best place in the world for him, Grandpa. Aunt Charity can take better care of than anybody I know.
Oh, my, yes, you get a sight of enjoyment out of looking after that baby, I know. Just loves children.
Oh. Yeah, that woman of yours, Grandpappy's mother, they were younger in the community, I reckon.
Yes, sir, I was just thinking here, man. Sort of funny. Here we are, three old codgers, getting along in years, standing around out here waiting. Waiting for a little baby to be born. It's sort of like as if we was waiting for somebody to take our place.
Yeah, well, of course, we don't like to talk about such things, but now we've about served our time, I reckon, ma'am.
Won't be long before we'll have to move on. There'll be somebody else to take our place.
Oh, yeah. Lord me, they'll soon forget about us.
It's sort of like the years. Here, 1938, almost gone. There's been a lot of things happen, but it'll all soon be forgot. There's been lots of joys and happiness.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's been lots of heartaches and lots of blasted hopes. But there's a new year coming, and we all get to start all over again. Here come 1939, bringing new hope and new courage. And we're sort of like the years, us three old fellas. We're sort of like 1938, and we're waiting on 1939. A little baby and young.
Well, just like I've always said.
Wait a minute, I believe somebody's coming to the door now.
Oh, maybe it's Doc, maybe it's Doc.
Any news yet, Doc?
Well, men, it's a fine baby boy.
And now, in the spirit of the season, Lum and Abner and the makers of Postum sincerely wish all of our friends a happy and joyous Christmas. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Now here's Donnie Pitchford to read a special article that appeared in the Jot'em Down Journal in December 1984.
Lum and Abner in the News, reprints of past Lum and Abner articles. This one is from Radio Guide, March the 28th, 1936. This time we reprint the article exactly as it appeared from the magazine. Topping the article, we have a wide photograph here depicting Tuffy Goff, his wife Elizabeth Goff, next Mrs. Harriet Locke, and Chet Locke. Locke and Goff are out of makeup and are two very dapper, well-dressed, handsome young men. In the center of the article, in an oval-shaped picture, is a picture of a baby. The caption underneath these, in group above, Mr. and Mrs. Norris Abner Goff at left, with the Chester Lum Locks as they investigated the strange event somewhere east of Pine Ridge. In medallion, the manger child of the Roy Garretts, photographed shortly after being christened Chester Norris. The Strange Prophecy of Lum and Abner by George Livingston. Do coming events really cast their shadows before them? You may be able to explain such eerie occurrences as the howling of a dog 3 days before someone dies, and you may not. You may be able to explain certain forebodings, premonitions, prophecies, but whether you scoff or whether you shake your head slowly and say, there must be something to it, you will have to admit that an amazing thing happened to Chester Locke and Norris Goff. This pair probably is better known to you as Lum and Abner, two kindly humorous, slightly philosophical old storekeepers in the mythical Ozark mountain town of Pine Ridge. Apart from their radio characters, they are young men, sensible, successful, and level-headed, not at all inclined to be superstitious. They do not have lucky stars, and they laugh at numerology, but they are still looking around for an explanation of what happened last Christmas. For the past 3 years, Lum and Abner have repeated the same Christmas story. It parallels the Bible account of the Nativity, the story of the three wise men who followed a star westward to a promised Messiah, bringing myrrh and precious gifts to lay at his feet. It had been prophesied, you remember, that they would find the newborn child in a manger. In the script, Lum and Abner and Grandpa Spears, a character also taken by Locke, hear that a child has been born to a destitute family whose house has burned down. They start east from Pine Ridge in an attempt to find the place, carrying food and blankets. At the fork in the road, not knowing which way to turn, they stop, bewildered. But that strange, mysterious something that led the wise men is with them. Suddenly, Abner remembers that the only place where a house is burned recently is the old Garrett farm. They go there and find that the child has been born in the barn. The Christmas night Lum and Abner went on the air with that script for the third consecutive time, a midwife, Ola Hooper, was hurrying across the rough Arkansas country, analogous to Pine Ridge, toward the farm of Roy Garrett. She had engaged in a race with the stork. The farmers around Waters, stolid, sturdy people, had known Roy Garrett all his life. When his house burned down, they told one another that Roy had more than his rightful share of bad luck. They knew Roy Garrett was honest, a willing helper at harvest time, a good neighbor in the country where a man still had room to stretch. They knew his wife, too. She was the sort that makes a hard-working Arkansas farmer a good mate. She had borne Roy Garrett 3 children already, and now Ola Hooper was hastening to deliver the 4th. Back in that section of Arkansas, doctors are few and far between, for money is scarce and the land sparsely settled. So practical women who knew what it is to bear children take the place of the doctor in childbirth. They have none of the instruments and equipment that await a prospective mother in a modern hospital. If there's an emergency, well, willing hands take up the task, and crude equipment suffices. Fortunately, these practical women lose very few babies. Perhaps it is because the women are accustomed to pain and hardships. In the fields outdoors, they often work shoulder to shoulder with the men. When Ola Hooper got to the Garrett farm, she saw the charred ruins of what had once been a house. Then she heard Roy Garrett call from the barn, telling her to hurry. There was no time to lose. The barn was not even a good barn. It was built of rough boards with wide cracks between, a roof, and a makeshift hayloft. Ola Hooper hastened inside. There she saw three frightened children huddled around an old cook stove. Untidy wisps of hay hung from the ceiling. She called to the husband to get some water. The bed was in a corner of the room. Ola Hooper ran to it, not any too soon. A clock ticked. There came a low cry. The midwife looked up from her work at exactly 6:35 p.m. At that very moment, in a broadcasting studio miles away, Lum and Abner were telling their listeners the event in the Garrett barn. Lum and Abner themselves did not know they were dramatizing the truth until Dick Huddleston, the general storekeeper in Waters, wrote them about the true life advent of the little Garrett son. It was then that the amazing parallelism between the radio prophecy and reality came to light. It made Lum and Abner gasp, but there was the birth certificate to prove Dick Huddleston's letter. Was it purely coincidence? Perhaps it was, but if so, it had one chance to happen in, well, let's see, what were the odds? There are 439,408 families in Arkansas. Out of this total, Lum and Abner had to pick the right family name. That would be pretty tough in itself. Then they had to find the location. The area of the state gave them the odds that they would come within a square mile of finding the baby by one chance in 53,335. Then consider the chances that they would guess the baby would be born in a barn to a family whose house had burned down at exactly the right time Christmas night. It would take all the benefits of calculus, analytical geometry, and astrodynamics to figure those odds. Lum and Abner thought that the explanation might lie in the fact that they had heard of the Garrett family a long time ago when they were back home in Mena, and had forgotten about it. Did the necessity of getting a name from the script dig it out of their subconsciousness? Again, it is possible, but not probable. Both Chester Locke and Norris Goff lived in Mena, Arkansas 5 years ago. Locke was the manager of the local automobile finance company there, and Goff helped his father run several wholesale grocery stores. Then their chances came to develop their hitherto amateur talent in radio. While Locke was president of the Mena Lions Club, the members launched a campaign to raise funds for the destitute and homeless people stranded by a recent flood. Someone at KTHS in Hot Springs heard the program and suggested another one like it. Locke and Goff would have repeated their blackface act, but when they got to the studio, the air was charged with such mimics. On the spur of the moment, they decided to talk like the people with whom they did business, the home folks around Mena and Waters. When the announcer asked for their names, Locke answered, "Lum." "Call me Abner," said Goff. Their act went over. Later, they struck out for Chicago and had their first chance on the network in July of 1931, subbing for Gene and Glenn on vacation. Dick Huddleston of Waters, the man whose letter to Lum and Abner uncovered their radio prophecy, has his Pine Ridge counterpart. He is one of the main characters in the script. Dick Huddleston of Lum and Abner has been taken from his life, general store and all. Across Huddleston's store, found in Waters, is the big sign, "Lum and Abner," in grateful acknowledgement to the two boys from Mena who made his name known to radio audiences. Yes, it is possible that Lum and Abner could have heard of the Garrett family and forgotten, but that does not explain how Lum and Abner were able to foretell the birth of a baby boy to the Garrett family on Christmas Day 3 years before it happened. Nor does it explain how they guessed the Garrett house would burn down and the child would be born in a barn. It does not answer how Lum and Abner were able to write in their script the very direction from Waters where the child would be born. They had in mind only the parallelism of the Bible story. Well, it still has Lum and Abner guessing, and it probably will you. The parents of the Garrett baby cannot account for Lum and Abner's strange prophecy. But they feel that such a happening in radio should not go entirely uncommemorated, and Chester Locke and Norris Goff feel honored. They have named the baby after Lum and Abner's real names, Chester Norris Garrett. The residents of Waters, too, all 400-odd of them, feel that they wish to show their appreciation to the two men who have made their hometown famous as far as Lum and Abner's words reach. Pine Ridge, the mythical Ozark locale of the radio program, will be a myth no longer if the citizens of Waters have their way. They are preparing a petition to the United States Post Office Department asking that the name of Waters be changed to Pine Ridge. Just below this, the caption, "The Horlicks Malted Milk Company presents Lum and Abner every day except Saturday and Sunday over an NBC network at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 Central Standard Time, 5:30 Mountain Standard Time, 4:30 Pacific Standard Time, and over a split network at 11:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10:15 Central Standard Time, 9:15 Mountain Standard Time, 8:15 Pacific Standard Time." The original photograph from this page of the article shows Roy Garrett holding Chester Norris. They're standing in front of the barn where the actual event took place. The caption reads, "Proudly, Roy Garrett holds his infant son before the barn, which was the scene of the Lum and Abner miracle prediction." At the bottom of the page, editor's note 1986. Broadcast information above applies to 1936. This article was rearranged slightly to fit our format. However, nothing has been deleted.
Thanks for reading that for us, Donnie.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.